said, good evening. We're going to start tonight with the rapture of the church. Now, how many of you have heard about the rapture? Amen. Good deal. How many of you want to go in the rapture? Better raise your hand, okay? You don't want to be left, okay? If you're left, that's not a good thing, okay? But if you actually, if you're looking for the word rapture in the Bible, it is not in your Bible, okay? That is actually a Latin word. The word rapture is actually a Latin word. If you look in a Latin Bible, it is. And that word has actually kind of made its way into our English language, you know, as a, if, you know, a rapturous event would be something to look forward to, an exciting time, okay? But if you actually look for the word rapture in the Bible, it is not in there, okay? Tonight we'll go over the rapture, but it's not that language, okay? I want you to know that, but it's the same thing as Paul's talking about. It's actually a time that will initiate Daniel's 70th week. You care to put Daniel up there for me, brother? In Daniel's 70th week, I talked a little bit about that last week, but for some folks that's not familiar with it, that's so close, you can't really see it. If you want to turn up, you guys on that side can probably see a little bit better. I'm going to read it, though. But it's a time period that is initiated by the rapture of the church. And for those that are unfamiliar with this, with the book of Daniel, Daniel began to pray. And Daniel asked God, basically, for revelation concerning his people. So in other words, he actually asked God to show me what was going to happen to the nation of Israel. Okay? We now have the benefit of the book of Revelation, John on the Isle of Patmos. But guess what? Daniel lived before John. There was no book of Revelation. There was no scroll, Brother Joe, for Daniel to go off of. And so what Daniel is, Daniel was in the nation of Babylon. He's basically wanting to know, one, are we ever going to get back? And two, Lord, what's your plan for the nation of Israel? That's what Daniel, the Jew, is really wanting to know. So as he begins to ask these things, God gives Daniel revelation about the end times that would befall the nation of Israel. Some of it has happened, some of it has not happened, okay? And one of the things that has not happened is the 70th week of Daniel. And I'm going to read that real quick here, because I don't think we should just bypass it, okay? In the 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th verses of the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, here's what it says in the King James. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So in other words, there's a time that's coming that in other words, what God is telling Daniel is, I'm going to complete everything in here. What I just read to you, that verse, everything. I'm going to bring everything to pass, including to anoint the most holy. Guess who that is? That's Jesus. Okay? But guess what? The Jews haven't done it yet. They're still waiting for their Messiah. Okay? By and large, the nation of Israel, unless they're a born-again Christian, which they call them Messianic Jews, they believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Unless there's one of those that's been won by the gospel, whether it's a missionary or whatever, then guess what? By and large, the nation of Israel is still looking for the Messiah. They don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Okay? Some of you guys may or may not know that. But that is by and large, the nation of Israel is still waiting on the Messiah. They don't accept Jesus as the Messiah. Okay? But in verse 25, it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That is 69 weeks, okay, is what that is. And to seal up the vision and prophecy, the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times." Okay, now here's what happened. By the time that the decree is given, which is this, you guys can go back, you can leave this area, the Medes and the Persians. Cyrus the Great says, guess what? You guys can go back and build your temple. And ready for this? We're going to help you do it. From that time period, you start counting 69 weeks forward. Now, ready for this? 69 weeks is a symbolic. You do 69 times 7. The reason being is, how many of you remember when old Jacob went to work for Laban? Because he wanted his pretty wife. And then after he worked those amount of years, Pearl, He hoodwinked him and said, "Now you got to marry the older sister first." So he had to work some more years to get to the one he really wanted. That's why he ended up having a couple wives, really. No offense, ladies, but that wasn't his choosing. His idea really wasn't to have multiple wives initially. That was his father-in-law that tricked him, okay? But that week is equivalent to 7 years thanks to that principle with Laban, okay? So what you do is you got 69 times 7 is 483, just for quick math. Now, you ready for this? What Daniel said would happen, what the prophecy said, what God had told Daniel is, from the time that that issue of the decree is given, which was given by Cyrus for the Jews to go back and do that, until the Messiah is cut off, which is Jesus' death in Jerusalem, guess how many years, Terry Lee? Exactly 483 years. You can't make that stuff up, folks. 483 years. Just like the Bible said it would be, Vicki. From the time that he said, "Look, you guys can go back and build that." 483 years later, roughly 32, 33 AD, Jesus dies on the cross. 69 weeks has been fulfilled, Pearl, just like the Bible said it would. But the prophecy is 70 weeks are determined upon your people, Daniel. So we've still got a 7-year period there, don't we? Still got a 7-year period there for all those things to happen. What? For you to usher in righteousness, for you to anoint the Holy One. The Jews haven't anointed Jesus king yet. They haven't proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah yet. So there's a 7-year period of time that's hanging out there that we're waiting to be fulfilled. And until it is fulfilled, Jesus can't rule from Jerusalem. Okay? So that's important to understand that. Now, anybody know how long the tribulation period is? How many years?
7 years.
So ready for this? Long before we called it the tribulation period, it was called the time of Jacob's troubles. That's what the Jews called it. So in other words, all this stuff is to bring us into line to God's plan. There's still a 7-year period that's unaccounted for to where God is going to really put the focus back on the nation of Israel. And guess what? The reason for that is because of his promise, Eva, to Abraham. Remember how many people remember when Paul said, and all Israel will be saved? Remember Paul said that? So there's prophecy that has to come to place. The prophecy has to be fulfilled. And how many of you know that God will not lie? Every jot, every tittle will happen. It is not going to be left out. Not one thing in the Bible is going to be left unfulfilled. So in other words, there's a 7-year period of time, Jeffrey, that we've got to get to before the end can happen, which is the second coming of Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon, okay? But right now, we're living in an amazing time. We're living in a blessed time. It's called the church age. Remember last week when I told you growing up how my dad would maybe hit the pause button on the VCR and let everybody go to the bathroom or get you some snacks or stuff like that? When Jesus died on the cross, I likened that to the Father hitting the pause button. Instead of that last 7 years, Pearl, here's what he said. "My son died on a cross for the entire world. My grace and my mercy is sufficient. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely." Whether Jew or whether Gentile, if you'll believe that Jesus died on a cross for your sins, he rose from the grave the third day, if you'll ask, believe, and confess, I'll save you. It don't matter if you're rich, poor, black, white, Hispanic, Native American, it does not matter. Jesus will save you. So we are right now living in a gap of time that's really the mercy of God. Plain and simple. That's what we're living in, is the mercy of God. We are blessed, Cheryl, that we are part of the church. The blessing that God gave us, Brother Joe, that the Holy Spirit, as we know what happened on the day of Pentecost, indwells the believer. If you've ever been said in Sunday school, you've heard me say this probably 100 times. David wishes he sat in your shoes. Abraham wishes he sat into your shoes. Ready for this? The Bible says this, that the angels desire to look on to you. It amazes them, Brandy, that the Holy Spirit will dwell in you, Nick, and the power don't blow your head off your shoulders. It doesn't make any sense, Terry Lee, how the power of God, the third part of the Godhead, would dwell in you, lead you, guide you, convict you, rebuke you, straighten you up when you do wrong, love on you when you need it, pick you up when you need picked up. The same power that moved on Jesus and rose him from the dead now lives inside of you. What a privilege, what an honor that is. That's a blessing. And that was given to the church because of Jesus. That's what we are living in right now. But there's coming a time when the Father is going to look at the Son and say, go back and get my church. She's ready. The bride is ready. And then a rapture will happen. And when the rapture happens, that will initiate. The pause button goes off, Vicki. And that 7-year period of time begins to tick, 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 tick. And God turns his attention back to the nation of Israel to bring everything around. Because his word said so. But as we read that, man, I've been talking too much. That thing then went dead on me. I'm sorry. Tara tells me that all the time. But anyway, it says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and the people of the prince that shall come destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of wars desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant for many for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now I know that's a lot of big words, okay? I'm going to sum up what Jesus said, okay? Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whosoever read, let him understand. So here's what he's saying. Here's what Daniel's saying is there's going to come a period of time, okay? And we're going to get there tonight. There's going to come a period of time that the Messiah is going to be cut off, okay? And there's going to be a new temple built. And how many know there's not a temple in Jerusalem right now? You know that? So there's one that has to be built, okay? For it have to be built. Because guess what? Something's going to happen. How many of you are familiar with what Jesus said? How many of you know what the abomination of desolation is? I'll go ahead and tell you. An abomination is something, it's a horrible sin. You know what abomination is? If something, you know, is an abomination in the sight of God, that's not a good thing. That makes something desolate. Desolation. If something's desolate, does anything live there? You know what I mean? In other words, if I gave you an all-inclusive pass to stay at the nicest resort in the world, not pay a dime, but you found out there was cockroaches, bed bugs, and every other critter staying there, would you want that place? Or do you think that whole hotel would be desolate? Nobody wants that, amen? So there's going to be an abomination that makes the temple desolate. That's what it is. And Jesus revealed, when you see him, there's going to be a man come in and he's going to stand in the holy place. We're talking about the Antichrist. He's going to stand in the temple and he's going to proclaim himself to be God during the tribulation period. That's what he's talking about. I'm not trying to get ahead of you, but that's what he's speaking about, period. But until then, we're still here. The book of Thessalonians talks about a restrainer that's keeping him, Vicki, from doing what he wants to do. There's an entity on this planet that Jesus loves. There's a people that are called by his name that he takes up for, that he does battle on their behalf. And that's the church. That's you and me, and that's everybody that has their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And until we are gone, the devil can't have his way. Do you understand that? Why in the world would you allow somebody to beat up on your bride and let it happen? The church is the bride of Christ. But soon, very soon, something's going to happen. I asked you that you read the book of Thessalonians, and Brother Dave, I'm sure, is going to pull it up here. How many of you have ever heard of the rapture of the church? Okay. Have you heard a little bit about it? If not, you're going to hear a lot about it. Here's what Paul said. Keep in mind, this is a fresh revelation. Pearl, nobody on planet Earth even knew what the church was going to be. It's important that you understand that. In other words, the Old Testament saints, Terry, did not understand that there was going to even be a church. They couldn't grasp, Vicki, the concept of a church. They couldn't grasp anything outside of the law, let alone God was going to love you so much that He was going to write it on your heart. So what's that mean? That means He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. I don't have to memorize the law no more, Cheryl, because the Holy Spirit reminds me what I'm supposed to live. The Holy Spirit will recall the words of Jesus because I read the Word of God, I read my Bible, and the Holy Spirit will let me know when I do something wrong. I don't have to go to a priest and say, "Oh, this happened at work today. Did I mess up?" I don't have to do that no more, Pearl. I never had to do it, praise God. I never lived under that. But that's all they knew. So they didn't know what the church age was going to be. What you and I are so blessed. There's nobody here that could live under the law. Nobody. And praise be to Jesus, you don't have to. That's what's so important about it. That's why I want you to understand how blessed we are to be able to come here on our own free will and worship the Lord. To be able to read our Bibles. To be able to pray. Have direct access to God through Jesus Christ, His Son. We don't have to, Brandy, go to a man and ask him to pray to God for us. I don't have to go to a high priest and give him an offering and let him offer me up a sacrifice so they can cover my sins for the year. I don't have to do that. If I mess up, Eva, you know what I do? The Holy Spirit lets me know I made a boo-boo. And I'll steal off, Vicki. I don't care where I'm at. I'll make my way to my truck. I'll make my way to a bathroom if I have to. And I'll say, "Lord, it's me again. I've sinned and I've come short. Lord, you know I shouldn't have said it. I am so sorry. Forgive me, Lord." That's all you got to do. That's the amazing thing about it. They wasn't a turtle dove killed. They wasn't a lamb slaughtered at all. I just had to ask forgiveness. And Jesus done it because His blood covers me. His blood washes me white as snow. That's an amazing thing, church. Man, I'm getting preachy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 17 says this: "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So, Leanne, there's going to come a time that the word is going to come from God the Father. And ready for this? Nobody knows the hour or the time that this is going to happen. The angels don't know when the rapture is going to take place. You and I don't know when that rapture is going to take place. We've got to be watching and waiting. I told you last week, the rapture is not a reward for those that are good. The rapture is a reward for those that are ready. If you miss out on the rapture, you've not missed at all, but you sure missed the best part. Because you don't want to be here. You don't want to miss the rapture, okay? Tribulation period begins right after that. But it says in 17th verse, I mentioned the word rapture isn't in Scripture. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together." Caught up. It's the Greek word harpazo. Okay? Harpazo. I know it's actually a pretty easy word to say, but the word harpazo literally means to seize, to pluck, to pull, to take by force, to pull out of harm's way. So in other words, one of the best analogies I've ever heard, Jeremiah, about harpazo, the Greek word for caught up, and the New Testament was wrote in Greek, by the way, is this, Brother Joe. If you had a three-year-old child was playing in the street, and a big old bus was coming down through there, and you could look and see the child, and look and see the bus, and look and see the child, and the child ain't paying attention, the bus driver ain't paying attention, and you know imminently this child is going to die, this child is going to suffer pain, this child is going to be destroyed, but all of a sudden at the last minute you go and pulled that kid out of the hair of the head and got it out of there. You snatched him out of harm's way. That is harpazo. And that is what the Lord is going to do to the church. He's going to snatch it up. He's going to pull it out of harm's way, Vicki, because something bad's coming. That's what the rapture is. It's the harpazo. It's to be caught up, to be catching away. That is what is going to happen. That's what's going to happen to the church. That's why you need to be ready. That's why it's important to be ready. You've got to be ready, church. If you're here, if you're listening to this on the app or whatever, you've got to understand the most important job we got as Christians is to be ready, Joe. Because it don't matter how many people you win to Jesus, Vicky, if you miss the boat, that's not a good thing. You want to make the rapture. That is what's going to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us how it's going to happen. Brother Dave is right on it tonight, ain't he? Man, he's good. You guys don't realize how much a blessing that man is to this church. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 50 through 53, just four short verses, Paul done told the Thessalonians what was coming. But he's also going to reveal Jeremiah to the Corinthians, not just what, but how. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. First off, one of the reasons for the rapture, flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Folks, whether you realize this or not, this body right here, I may look like this right now, but when I get to heaven, I hope I'm better looking. Tara may argue with that. But the point is, this right here, as you all know, goes back to the dust of the earth. My mom and dad have died in the Lord, and we buried their bodies down there on the graveyard. Okay? That can't go to heaven. But that which is alive inside of us, our soul, goes back to God who gave it. Okay? So guess what? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? That's what it's saying. So there's got to be a change that takes place, because I got to be honest with you. I'm 48. I pressure washed over the last couple days. Done some work, cut some weeds. And 800 milligram Motrin has been my friend. Because my back hurts, my knees hurt. Tara said, Tara can tell that I've done certain things, Par, in certain days, because, you know, I'm okay until I sit down. And then you try to get back up, and you're walking like this. Through there. You know what I'm talking about. You're not as young as you used to be. Amen? I've had knee surgery. Okay? I've got aches and pains that I've not had to have. I see some of you beautiful folks are wearing eyeglasses. Guess what? You wasn't born with them. Okay? Sometimes, I mean, some people are born with bad eyes. I know that. But as you get older, my dad being one of them, he never needed glasses till he got to be about 50, and then he couldn't see where to look without them. So in other words, natural time tears this old body down. Whether it's disease, whatever it is, this body will slowly start breaking down and really just kind of giving up on us, Joe. That's what's going to happen. So this don't get to go. But what's inside of me does. That's what Paul said in the 50th verse. Paul says in 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, if the Apostle Paul says, "I'm showing you a mystery, Jeremiah," I believe it's a mystery. I believe there wasn't nobody knew about it. He said, "I'm going to show you a mystery," okay, to this church. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Changed. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So guess what? Praise God. Amen for that. Hallelujah. Give me an amen there. I want the new body, Vicky. I want the one that will not fade away, the one that me and Terry and Tiffany was talking about this Sunday before church started. We've got blood pumping through our bodies, don't we? If the blood stops, life stops. We got to have blood. It is our life force. God designed it that way. If you have an injury and you lose too much blood, you will die. If you have an injury and you lose too much blood, they'll get you to the hospital, they'll give you more blood to keep you alive. So the blood is the life, period. Could you imagine having a body instead of the blood being the life? The spirit being the life? Imagine the best you've ever felt. the Holy Spirit coming down. However, the biggest, Jeremiah, the biggest, most powerful spiritual experience you've ever, imagine that being 24/7, 365, all through you, all the time. There you go. You'd have to be changed to take that. There ain't going to be no bad days up there, Nick. There ain't going to be no Motrin. Praise be to God. There ain't going to be no need for glasses. There'll be no toothaches. There'll be no diseases. All those things will be gone because we're going to be changed. And how did Paul say it was going to happen? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. If you're here and you don't understand how fast that is, okay, I'm going to give you just a second. If you've blinked in this time period, you're still too slow. It will happen in the twinkling of an eye. And there's a lot of debate to that, but a roughly 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. A twinkle is the time it takes from light to reflect off the eye. A blink is too slow. So how is it going to happen? Fast. Very fast. So in other words, if you ever heard somebody say, I'll just wait at the rapture and get saved. You're too late. If you're not ready when he comes back, you ain't got time to say a prayer. If you messed up that day, if we all knew the rapture was going to happen on July 1st, there'd be a bunch of people ready, Vicki. But we don't know when it's going to happen. So we got to live our lives as if it's going to be any moment. Because we need to be ready. Great question. Ask that.
The last trumpet, is that the seven trumpets and the seals to be broke? Or?
Okay. Great question. What he said was where it says the last trump was that regarding the seals and the trumpet judgments of the book of Revelation. No, it's not. Okay? But that is a great question. Great question. That last trump actually is to the Jews. Now keep in mind, ready for this? All of us that are here, we have the benefit of being born 2,000 years after Jesus died, roughly. We know what a church is, by and large. These early Christians were primarily, most of them, Jews that had believed, okay, or were early converts. So they had an understanding of trumpets way better than we do now, is what I'm trying to say. The last trump to the Jew took place at the Feast of Trumpets. Okay, it was called the Tekiah Gedolah. Tekiah Gedolah. Look at me speaking that. Tekiah Gedolah. And it would be the last trump that would sound in the Feast of Trumpets. And it was a shofar. So they didn't show a regular trumpets like we do trumpets. It wasn't a trumpet. It was a shofar, a ram's horn. And they would make distinct sounds, like the first would be a different sound than the second, than the third. And the last one would be one big old long, drawn-out sound of the ram's horn, the Tekiah Gedolah. And guess what? It signified this. That was a great question, by the way, Herbie. Great question. The shofar blast, and when it blasts, the blowing of the shofar is a wake-up call, urging individuals to examine their lives, repent of their sins, and prepare for the judgment to come. And when it happens in the nation of Israel today, it initiates the holy days, the 10 holy days, the time that the nation will begin to reflect on their lives and the sins they have committed and stuff like that. Why is that important? Because to the Jews that don't believe in Jesus, that will initiate the rapture of the church saying, judgment's coming. It's time to reflect. It's time to think of it in a different way. Paul is writing to let them know there's going to be a sound, a last trump sound. There's going to be a distinct sound is the point. A sound that every Christian's ear is tuned to. That's one thing I like to say. I've always been amazed at people that can play music by ear. Now, hey, look, if you can play anything by note, that's great too, because you got me beat. I can't play nothing. You know what I mean? The Grimmett family, Kelly's Bunch, that man, I tell you what, that is some blessed people. They could pick up an instrument, Nick, and just take off. I think you could probably invent one on a Tuesday, and they could play it on a Wednesday. I really believe that. There are some people that are just that musically blessed, musically inclined. You know what I'm talking about, Jennifer? But that being said, I can't do that. And I've always loved those that could just listen to a song and then play it. They had an ear for it. It was like they had an ear for it. They had a you know, something about them, Jeffrey, that they just in tune. They recognize it. Boom. And they go with it. Ready for this? I don't know what the last trump's going to sound like. I don't. But if I'm walking with the Lord in the Spirit, my ear is tuned to that sound. And when it takes place, Herbie, that last trump, every Christian's ear, even though we don't know what it sounds like now, there's going to be something inside of us. Just boom, that's it. Change, gone. That fast. That's what the last trump Paul's referring to here. There are trumpet judgments. That's in the book of Revelation. But this last trump was to signify something was changing. Brother Joe?
Well, in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God.
Amen.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first." So that is the last trumpet.
That is the last trumpet.
Yeah.
And what Paul is writing to some of you folks that may not know is this church were saddened because they had loved ones that had already passed away. And they were waiting for the Lord to come back. And they were sad, Vicki, that mommy died. We done buried her. When the Lord comes back, is she out of luck? That was what they were concerned about. Okay? So Paul's saying, hold on, I'm going to show you mystery. Okay, that's not going to happen. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. That's why I've always said this. I don't know what the graves are going to look like. I don't know if they're going to bust open. They may. They may not. But I'm going to tell you this right now. There's going to be a change takes place. Those that have gone on in the Lord, they're going to be changed first. That's what the Bible says. Because that which is corrupted has to put on immortality. And guess what? Now at that point, as Brother Joe said, when the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first, the voice of the archangel, we're going to be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. So not only is we going to go from here to there that fast, we're going to go from here to there and change that fast. So for anybody to say that they're going to see the rapture, I call bull hockey. Your eye ain't that fast. Look, I played against Randy Moss. He was fast. I remember people used to tell me all the time, "Man, you got to hit him, Teddy. You got to." I said, "Listen, guys, you just got to catch him first. I don't care. I want to hit him. I want to knock his head off. I want to hit him so hard he can't come back. But you got to catch him first. My job is to get him on the ground or he scores a touchdown. I want to hit him. I want to do that. But I got to make sure I get him first." That being said, it's going to happen so fast. Guess what you got to understand? Boom, we're here, there. That's it. It's that fast. And one of the reasons I like that, Brother Joe, Satan ain't going to know when it happens. He's going to see the after effects. He can't stop it. He can't prohibit it. He can't do nothing about it, Vicki. It's a mystery that nobody knows but God himself. And when he tells Jesus, now's the time. Ready for this? As Brother Joe just read, he's going to come back on the clouds. He ain't going to step foot on the earth. How many of you remember in the book of Acts when he went back after 40 days, after resurrected for 40 days? Bible says he went back in the clouds, didn't he? They kept looking up, thinking he was coming back. And then the angel had to come back and say, what are you doing? He went away in this way. He's coming back in like matter. So ready for this? Did everybody in the world see him go back? Or just those that were his followers? Just his followers that was there that day. Is the world going to see him when he comes back? Just his followers. When he went back at first, it wasn't a public spectacle. When he comes back at first, it won't be a public spectacle. It's to snatch us out of harm's way. Because what's coming, as you said, those trumpet judgments and all that's getting ready to come to the earth, the 70th week of Daniel that will ensue after the rapture of the church, that's what's coming. So Jesus says, you know what? My bride, she means too much to me to let her go through that. He's going to come back and snatch us up out of here. That's what the rapture of the church is. It is a blessing to every person that sits here. I remember being a growing up. I tell Tara this all the time. I really believe we're the last of the redback hymnal generation. I grew up on the redback hymnals. That's all we had. I don't even know that. They wasn't no Christian radio at that time, I guess, other than the Southern Gospel bluegrass stuff. and you didn't get, you know, it wasn't like today where you got satellite radio. You just, if it was on, it was on. If it wasn't, it wasn't. But I tell, you know, I think back on those days and those songs, and people talked about the rapture way more then than they do now. And we're closer now to it than we was then. Think about that. It's the rapture's become a word everybody, nobody wants to talk about no more. And it's a blessing. And it's something for us to be striving for, to be ready for, Jennifer. If you've missed the rapture, guys, you've missed something important. What's the rapture of the church? It's your chance to go be with Jesus. To not go through the tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel. You don't want to be here for all that, do you? I don't. And if you're listening to this right now on this app coming up here soon, I'm going to tell them, as I'm telling you, you need to be ready for the rapture. Because it's still going to happen. Jesus is coming back. And if you miss the rapture, then all hell's going to break loose. There's no other way to say it. Anybody else got any questions about the rapture?
I was just going to say, years ago, before I was saved, a guy come in the store, a preacher, and he gave me his card, and I'll never forget it. And he said, if you never met me, you've missed nothing. If you missed Jesus Christ, you missed it all.
Amen.
That has always been in my heart.
Amen. You know,
and that probably started my conviction.
Amen.
When everybody would come in the store and everybody's talking about Jesus. You go by a billboard, be Jesus. You talk on the radio, be Jesus. You run on TV, be Jesus. But, you know, just something like that little thing a lot of times would change somebody's heart.
Absolutely.
And you're just talking about that trumpet, and I had a little commentary here. It's talking about the Roman military. And it said the first trumpet meant strike the tents and prepare to leave. The second trumpet meant to fall into line. And the third trumpet meant to march away.
Yeah.
And the last trumpet describes our Christian marching.
Amen.
And because Christ is coming back to bring his army home.
Amen. Amen. The rapture of the church. Anybody got any questions about the rapture? Do you kind of get it? Hopefully. Okay, I think most people knew about that. I get excited about it. Because I'm going to be honest with you. When it comes to the book of Revelation, I want to know it because I want to help people to avoid it. Okay? You don't want to be here for that mess. You want to go on the first boat out of here. Okay? If you want to take your chance on the Titanic, good luck. I don't want to, Par. I don't want to do that. And that ain't God's will that I do that. It ain't God's will that you do that. He wants us to be ready when Jesus comes back. He's going to rapture us out of here. Amen? Okay. Go to the book of Revelation. Just the verses, not the picture. Absolutely. Go ahead. Hold on.
When you're talking about the changing in the moment of the twinkling of an eye and flesh and blood not going, what's the difference between... Because some people think, like, the only difference is that you are in a mortal body that dies out, but you will be made immortal in the moment of the twinkling of an eye.
Great, great question. Thank you. See, that's why we want those questions, those discussions, because if you've got them, I promise somebody else has them. So basically she's saying, what's it going to be changed to? What are you changing into? Hold on.
Okay. So to add to hers, so the people that have already passed, like your parents, my grandparents, they're like in paradise with him now.
Yes.
So they're going to have to come back to those bodies.
Yep.
And then be resurrected and changed, essentially just like changed.
Thank you. See, that's why these questions are so important. I'll take them both together. Thank you very much. First of all, we're going to have a glorified body. That's what we're going to be changed to, a glorified body. How many of you remember Jesus after the resurrection, after he came back from the dead? You remember how he could still eat? But yet, seemingly, not in a ghostly fashion, he appeared to disciples while the doors were locked. He wasn't hindered by natural laws. Will not be hindered by natural laws. A glorified body is not going to... I don't have to open a door to go through it, but I'm not going to be a ghost. Please know you're not going to be a ghost. Jesus said, how do I know you ain't going to be a ghost? Because Jesus said, Thomas, give me your hands. You touch my hands and touch my side. And Thomas said, I don't need to. Lord, my Lord and my God. He saw him. He could feel him. He could touch him. So it is a real body. It ain't no ghostly, ghouly apparition. It is a glorified body likened to Jesus, one that ain't going to be pained no more, one that's not subject to death, one that's not subject to disease. All those things. You ain't going to stump your toe in heaven. Ready for that? That's a good thing. But you're not going to get sick. Nothing bad's going to happen, okay? That is the body we're going to be changed. Not to be ghosts and ghouls. Not to be a movie, like an apparition or something like that. We're going to have a new glorified body like Jesus Christ. We're still going to eat, but I don't think you're going to have to worry about pounds. Woo, come on. Everybody just eat chocolate cake. That would be a big amen.
Mama's chocolate cake.
But that's going to be a new glorified body. And as Leanne asked the question, to tie into what hers said right there, Thessalonians, actually I believe it is, says it. It gives us basically her answer, what she was alluding to. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So what that means is, my mom and dad, your grandparents, they're with the Lord right now in the paradise of God. But when he comes back, Jesus said in John chapter 14 that where I am, there you may be also. My mom and dad and your grandparents will never step foot anywhere outside of the presence of Jesus ever again in eternity. That's what the Bible says. So if Jesus leaves heaven, Tammy, to come back for the harpazo or the rapture, they're going to come back too. Not their physical body. It's down there, buried in that ground. Or in the ocean, because there's people that are buried at sea. There's people that's been killed in battle and bodies lost. We know that. POWs, MIAs, all those things. But Herbie, guess what? God knows where every body is, every bone, every fragment of a bone. God knows where the dust is. And there's going to be something miraculous that takes place. I don't know what it's going to look like, Leanne. But my mom and dad is going to have a reunion of sorts with that body that fast, faster than that. And they're going to get the glorified body just like I do if I'm still alive. So all those people that are with the Lord will always be where he's at. Okay? He's not going to say, okay, guys, y'all stay up here. I got to go back and do something, and I'll come back and get you. It ain't that way. They're going to come back with him, as Paul said. Then they got to be changed. And I know some preachers used to always say this. The reason the dead in Christ rise first, because they got to come from 6 feet under. That's a joke. That's just a joke. That's just a joke. They got a little further to go, is all he's saying. They're 6 feet under. We got a 6 foot head start on them, in other words. I've heard preachers say that for in a joking way. I'm sure you may have heard that. But in other words, that's what's going to happen, Leanne. Anybody else got a question about the rapture? There is no dumb questions, only one you don't ask. Anything? Yes, ma'am. Got to use the mic. Well, we still can't hear you on that, baby doll. You're
okay,
good.
Where do we go after the rapture?
We go to heaven. We go to heaven.
Because I've heard this is going to be the new heaven.
It will be eventually, but I'm not going to get ahead of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to go down that path, but you are right. But initially, we're going to go to heaven right now where the Lord's at.
Okay.
Okay? Initially. Okay. Anybody else?
Jeff? This is not a question, more of a statement.
Yes.
But can you imagine the people that are in the churches today that are not as prepared when the rapture happens? They're going to know Jesus came back, just like
absolutely.
Those who hear the trumpet and they see Jesus and we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
But those who are not ready, they're going to know their Savior left them behind.
Absolutely. Me and Dave was talking about this before service got started, weren't we, Dave? And nobody's going to see the rapture take place, but I believe the whole world's going to know that it did. The turmoil, there's going to be planes fall out of the sky. There's going to be people driving their vehicles, and those vehicles are going to all of a sudden have nobody driving them, careening out of control. Interstates are going to be congested, jammed. Millions and millions of untold people on this planet go missing at one split moment of time. And those that maybe once knew the Lord, or wasn't walking where they was supposed to be, they're going to know what happened. I believe that. Now, the rest of a lot of the world that's living outside of the Word of God, or that have reprobate minds, or refuse to believe the truth of God's Word, they may play it off. They're subject to be fooled by whatever the media says, or whatever it is. Guys, there's going to be a lot of lies told in those days. If you're a government, you've got to try to bring law and order somehow, don't you? They'll tell you all kinds of stuff to get you to quit rioting, get you not to do this, to fall back in line, so to speak. But the point of the matter is, if you once knew the Lord, or maybe you were brought up in Sunday school and you had enough praying moms and praying dads and mamas and papas that taught you, you're going to be one of those radicals that says, you know what, guys, that ain't what happened here. Every church member that Mama's church is gone. They're gone. They're going to know what happened. I agree with you, Jeff. But it won't. Not everybody. Not everybody will accept that. But I believe there'll be carnage. And ready for this? There'll be rich people. There'll be people with just a little bit of money in the bank. That our money, our economy operates on money. Money's got to be, goods have got to be sold every day for the economy to go on. Jobs to happen. People pay bills so people get paid at their job. All those things happen. Well, guess what? If Brother Joe here is to be raptured out here, whatever he's got in his bank account, him and Lisa's gone. Nobody's got access to it. Unless Joe puts somebody else having it. And most people just have their spouse on their bank account. And if something happens and they die, then yeah, it can be left to, well then, we ain't got a body to show they're dead. So there's going to be a period of time where they got to declare Joe and Lisa gone. They got to declare Teresa and Dave gone. Because their family, if they are left here, and praised, we'll pray to God that any of them are, they want mom's money. They want mama's property. All that stuff takes time. Imagine the courts being just bombarded all at once with that. It's going to be chaos like this world is not even thought of. But that's coming. That's absolutely coming. Anybody else? Joe?
Now that's the rise, which when the Antichrist rises,
absolutely. He's
going to give an explanation of where everybody went to.
Absolutely. I believe that 100%. We'll get into the Antichrist real soon. Real soon. Anybody else about the rapture? It's going good. Going good. Okay. Brother Dave, put First Revelation scripture up there, please. Now, how many of people, when I was growing up, I apologize, let me say this. When I was growing up, I asked a good Christian man, and I don't think he was trying to hurt me, Vicki. I think he just didn't want me to be confused, didn't think I could understand it or something or whatever. So I don't, to this day, I don't look down on that person for giving me this advice, quote-unquote advice. But I remember asking questions as a young Christian, and I was a teenager, because I was always told, you believe the entire Bible, from front to back. If it's in the Bible, you believe it and you live by it. Amen? Well, I asked him, what about this book of Revelation, brother? You don't need to read that, brother. You don't need to read that. Why not? Buddy, I don't. If I was you, I'd just stay in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for now. He was trying to do me good. He was. He wasn't trying to do nothing wrong. But, Nick, there's a lot of people to this day that avoid that scripture. They avoid that book. Or they want to know the book and can't quite get the symbolism of it or whatever. They want to know about this book. And I think this book is very important to understand, because you can help people be ready for Jesus. Because anybody that says, I'm just going to wait till the tribulation period and give my life to the Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't want to be here for that. You don't want to be here for those judgments that Herbie spoke about, those trumpet judgments. You don't want to be here when 1/3 of the world's population is wiped out at one moment. You don't want to be here when the fresh water supply is rare. You don't want to be here in war upon war upon war upon war, pestilence. You think COVID was bad? Somebody killed you over toilet paper in 2020. What would they do over a bowl of soup? Over a half-eaten piece of corn on the cob? It's true. What we feed hogs would be sought after in the tribulation period. Okay? We want to understand it so that we'll be ready at the rapture. And we won't have to be here for it. But that script, this Bible, this book of Revelation, people want to understand it, but they have a hard time with the symbolism. I'm going to do my best to try to help with that, okay? So if you're in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, I want you to just go to verses 12 through 20. 12 through 20. 1:12 through 1:20. And I'm going to read this. And then Brother Dave is going to put a picture up here. And you ready for this? I made a promise on Facebook that if you'll come, I promise you'll leave here with understanding and revelation. I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to quote a few scriptures. And then Brother Dave is going to put a picture up here. And when you see that picture, everybody in here is going to understand the first chapter of the book of Revelation. It's that simple. The first chapter. Just the first. Just the first. Okay? Just the first. But I'm going to read verse 12 through 20 now. And I turned, this is John the Revelator, or the Apostle John, okay? He's been put on the Isle of Patmos. He's in exile. In other words, they tried to kill him, Vicky. They couldn't kill him. They put him in a, history says they put him in a big old pot of boiling oil and he wouldn't die. So what did the emperor do? Look, just put him out on that old abandoned island and he'll die off and we'll not have to worry about him no more. That's why he's out there waiting to die. Okay? And when he's waiting to die, I'm sure he's probably praying, talking to the Lord. If I was a Christian, I'd be doing that. What about you, Vicky? I'd be having me some good Jesus moments in the cave. At least that's about all I got to look forward to. You know what I mean? Let's just have some good times with the Lord when I can. I'm sure he's probably in prayer. And the Lord shows up to him and gives him the revelation. Okay? And it says in verse 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." Wow. How many people's ever went out in the spirit? When you do, you fall as dead, don't you? Well, looky there. Does that mean John's Pentecostal? Now, I say that tongue-in-cheek because I grew up in Baptist churches, and I've seen people go out too, so it's not just a Pentecostal thing. But the point of the matter is, John went out. I fell as dead. I heard the voice, I saw this, and I was out like a light, Herbie. That's what he said. That's what he said. Okay? But it goes on, it says, "And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks that thou sawest are the seven churches." Now, I'm going to have Dave put that picture up there. Take a look at it. You see that? Okay? You see the one in the middle? That's what I want you to look at. Right now, I can honestly tell you that my son Jacob is 26 years old. When Jake was younger, and Tara and I were going to a different church, Patty Robertson was his Sunday school teacher. God rest her soul. Good woman to God. Great person. But anyway, she came and was telling us something about Jake, Vicky. Jake was just a little fella. How old, maybe about 3 years old. You know what I mean? He wasn't very big at all. About Luke's age. And Jeremiah, she came to us and she said, she was teaching him in Sunday school, and she said, "Kids, I want to ask y'all a question. Where's Jesus at right now?" And what she wanted, Pearl, was just for them to say he's in heaven. He's three. So she just wanted a kid to say, well, he's in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. We worship Jesus, but where is he at? He's in heaven. That's what she was trying to get the kids to understand. But three-year-old Jacob gives the answer. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for the sins of the people. God, where did that come from? It comes from the Bible. He heard his daddy say that. So right now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for the sins of the people. He's the high priest of our soul. Okay? Remember when he told Mary, don't touch me, I'm not yet ascended to my Father? Okay? Because he had to go back to the mercy seat. He had to go back and consecrate everything. Remember there was war in heaven? Michael and his angels and the devil fought. Well, Jesus had to cleanse that place too. By his blood he cleansed it. By the cross he cleansed it. Whether it's heaven or whether it's on earth, Jesus done it all. Whew. But he's the high priest. And right now, when I mess up, I can go to my knees in prayer, my prayer closet. Lord, it's me again. He forgives me, Herbie. Because he's on the right hand of the Father. If there's ever any question, if this adversary comes up to me wanting or approaches the throne room and says, you know what, he's not worthy to be forgiven. He done this time, 7 times this week he's done the same thing. He's not worthy to be forgiven, but guess what? His blood says it is. He's one of mine, Father. He's one of mine. So guess what? By his blood, he has earned the right to sit down at the right hand of the Father. He is a high priest, as the Bible says, after the order of Melchizedek. He has no beginning of days. He has no end of days. So in other words, guess what? When we sin and we mess up, we pray to Jesus and our high priest goes to the Father and we are forgiven. That's what it is. I don't have to go to any other man, Tiffany, and confess my sins and ask her to say whatever words and blah, blah, blah. I can go straight to Jesus. That's the blessing that I have. The book of Hebrews lays all that out. So, Jesus done that. Soon as he went back to heaven, after being alive for 40 days, Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father, where he is now. How do we know he's there? When Stephen was about to be stoned, Stephen said, I beheld heaven open and the Son of God standing. Standing. Old preachers used to say, why was he standing and not sitting? Because he was waiting for Stephen to come home. But we know he's at the right hand. He's making intercession for us. That's what a priest does. So since he's been doing that 40 days after the resurrection, he's going to continue doing that until the rapture. Okay, does that make sense? That's what he's doing right now. That's what he's going to do until the Father tells him to go get the church. And when John sees him at first, he's not raptured. He sees him in his priestly garments. Chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, John sees Jesus as the high priest. That's what that picture is there to represent to you guys. What chapter 1 is about is the revelation that you're getting ready to show me something. I've got a message to take to the churches. And what are you in? I'm in the priestly garments because I'm still ministering to people. That's what that picture is. Dave, go ahead and put that other one up there for me, brother. I don't like that lamp picture that good. I don't think that's very accurate. That right there is really what it is. That's called a Jewish menorah. The 7 candlesticks. How many of them are there, guys? 9. Well, that's a newer one. 7 is the original one. It got 2 got added. But that's what it is. The menorah, the Jewish menorah. Each branch represented one of the churches that we're getting ready to talk about in chapters 2 through 3. That's what it is. So Jesus has a message for the 7 churches. Okay? For the angels, it said, that Greek word actually can mean angel or messenger. That can be an angel or a pastor of a church. So in other words, ready for this? Before I come back, and we're going to get there probably before we get wrap this thing up, because I'm not going to go through chapters 2 and 3, but I'm going to tell you something, because I want us to be ready. That's the most important thing about the teaching, is be ready when the Lord comes back. But I'm here to show you stuff, John, that's going to happen. But I'm here because I also have a message to my churches. Chapters 2 and chapter 3, you get a chance to go read them after tonight. Just for sake of time, I don't have time to go over them. But Jesus is a little upset with some of them. He's got odd against them, is what he says. There are some of them that has left their first love, Jeff. There are some of them that have a Jezebel spirit in it, Leanne. So in other words, Vicki, there's some churches that have strayed. Laodicea was lukewarm. Okay? So in other words, there were some churches that have lost their first love. And before you cast a stone, Have you ever been there? Have you ever allowed the cares of this world to seep in? And you started what used to be real close to the Lord, now you're not as close as you used to be. You forgot your first love like it was when you first got saved. And you're back here now, not where you should be. He speaks to a church of that's done that too. He had one of Jezebel's spirits. She was just mean. She was about false doctrine. That was what Jezebel wants to control the pulpit, by the way, just like Jezebel controlled King Ahab. Okay, but you had all these things, and Jesus is going to tell every one of the churches, I'm going to give you this reward if you overcome. I'm going to give you this reward if you overcome, but I have ought against you. So in other words, here's the reason he says that, Lisa. I love you so much that I'm going to tell you, you need to fix this. He's not being mean to those churches. He's warning them. And you ready for this? Some people say it's a church age or whatever, and there might be some validity to that, but can I tell you what I know it is? It's a spiritual condition you can find yourself in too. And when you're walking where you're not supposed to be walking, the Holy Spirit will say, hey, Terry, I've got aught against you. You need to find your first love. And you know what? If you're really walking with the Lord, that'll break your heart. And you'll go pray and you'll get closer to Him, won't you? Then He's done His job, amen? And Jesus said, in every single situation, He says, repent. He gives them an option, repent. But if you don't repent, I'm going to take your candlestick away. That's what He says. We'll take your candlestick away. If you don't have candlestick, you don't have two things. You have no fire, you have no light. And if a church don't have fire, and a church don't have light, it ain't nothing but a social club. Amen? I'm not here to be a social club. I'm here to walk like Jesus, do my best. Hey, look, I'm human. I'll mess up. I'll come short of the glory of God. But I've got to own up to that when I do. Repent. Turn from it. Begin to follow the Lord. And you know what? There better be a little bit of Holy Ghost fire in me too. I better have light and I better have a source of heat inside of me. Because if I ain't got that, I'm not part of the church. That's it. That's plain and simple. If you ain't no light or you ain't got no fire, who are you? What good are we to the Lord? We ought to be the light of the world. A city set on a hill. Who lights a candle and puts it under a bushel? You don't do that. You put it up here so the whole world could see. That's what Jesus said. So He tells those churches in chapters 2 and chapter 3, if you'll overcome, I'll give you this. I'll give you that reward. Go back and read it, okay? But for sake of time, I can't go over that. But I have aught against you. This, that, or that. Repent. 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 Can I tell you something right now? That needs to be said a little bit more in churches. Repent. 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 Amen. No sin is going to be able to inherit this kingdom of God. Nothing like that is going to make it into heaven. But that's what Jesus is right there. That is chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 1 of the book of Revelation is what Brother Dave showed you there. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 is Jesus' promise and warning to the churches. Go to chapter 4. We're going to wind this down here in a little bit. But I got to hit this so that we're not hangling out there. I'm going to ask Brother Joe, you care to get the mic? I want you to read something for me. Oh, I didn't know it was that far down. I'm sorry. Brother Joe, read verses 1 through 4, chapter 4, 1 through 4.
After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as if it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show these things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold.
Thank you, Brother Joe. So chapter 1, Jesus comes in His high priestly garments. Why? Because I got a message to the churches. John, I need you to deliver these messages to the churches. Now, ready for this? John did get off the Isle of Patmos, by the way. That emperor died, and a new emperor came out, and he set him all free. So John, what's John do? John takes every bit of that scroll and he goes back to the land and he starts handing out those messages to those pastors. Say, listen, here's what he's got against you. You better repent. You better repent. You better repent. Matter of fact, Ephesus, which is one of the churches, John actually was at one time a pastor of Ephesus. I think when he passed away, he was in Ephesus as the pastor of that church. So who knows, John might have rooted that guy out and took over because he might have been some old hard-head person that wouldn't repent. I don't know. That's just church history that tells that. But the point of it is this. Jesus shows up as the high priest, and it's his duty to love people and to correct them. And that's what he does in chapters 2 and chapter 3. Why? Because he wants his people to be ready. Then all of a sudden, he's in those high priestly garments. But then John says this, as Brother Joe read that, something changes from chapter 3 to chapter 4 in the wording. After this, I looked. After this. After what? He's talking about churches right now. Now, all of a sudden, you don't hear the church brought up at all from chapter 3 on. After this, I looked. That's what he said. There's a turning of the page. There's a break right there is what it's saying. After this, I looked. I looked. After what? After the church age. After there's no need for me to talk to the church no more because, Vicky, they're not here. And he says this. What has Brother Joe read? A door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, what did it sound like? A trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither. Come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. Hereafter what? Hereafter the church. So another, and all of a sudden, John, who's there on the Isle of Patmos, here Jesus shows up as the high priest. He sees all that beautiful garment. The golden garments that of heaven, not like the one in the nation of Israel. But he sees that. He's telling about the church. Then all of a sudden, something happens. After this, boom, I hear a voice, come up here there, John. Can I tell you something right now? If you're walking where you're supposed to be walking, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, when the Lord comes back, there's going to be a sound of the trumpet, and there's going to be a tune to your ear, and you're going to be ready. And when you hear, come up hither, Vicky. Come up hither, Cheryl. Come up hither, Pearl. Guess what? You're going to go. You're not going to stay here no more. You're going to be changed in a moment of the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Come up hither. Come up hither. I got to show you something, John. Come up hither. You're no longer on the earth now. John shifts. Now all of a sudden I'm on this cave in Patmos. My body might be, but in the spirit I'm with the Lord. I believe if snakes and lizards was there, they probably crawled all over his body. But John wasn't there. John was with the Lord. Who cares what happens to this body right here? John says, I'm going to be the Lord. Immediately. He said, immediately I was in the spirit. Immediately, go up hither. I'm there. I'll show you things that must come hereafter. Hereafter when? When the church ain't here no more. Chapters 2, chapters 3, it's for the church. Be ready. Be ready. Chapter 4 is, behold, I show you a mystery. That's the mystery that John that Paul spoke about. That's the mystery that John's now telling you about. Now all of a sudden we go from the church need to be ready to boom. If you ain't been ready, you missed the boat. That's where we're at, because now what we're getting into, as Herbie alluded to, is some bad stuff from here on. But we're not getting into that tonight. And it says, and he that sat was to look upon as a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about his throne. Who's that? That's the Father, the throne of God. Is above the throne of God is a rainbow. Okay, the Bible makes that plain. What was the sign? What was the sign he gave Noah that he wouldn't destroy the earth no more? Rainbow. Where do you think it originated from? It didn't originate on earth, it originated in heaven. You know that the temple that or the tabernacle that he told Moses to build? He told Moses, you build it exactly like I told you to build it. Because it's a direct replica of the one that's in heaven. Anything that you have on earth is just a replica of what's in heaven, okay? But he says that about it. And round about the throne were 24 elders, 24 seats, 24 elders clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, ready for this? How many people would like to know who the 24 elders are? You ever had that asked to you? Who's the 24 elders? I've had it asked for me a lot. You know who 24 elders are, Teddy? I tell you, I do have an answer for you. I don't know who the 24 elders are. You ready for this? Nobody does. Nobody knows who, if they are specific people. I've heard people say, well, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles of the Lamb. Okay, you know. But I'm going to tell you what I think number 24 represents. David. David, who's pretty important. David, literally, with the help of Zadok and Ahimelech, organized the priests into 24 courses in the temple so they could do priestly duties. So in other words, to David, 24 was a specific order to way the worship and temple duties would take place. David just didn't come up with that out of his own mind. It came from the Lord. How many of you know that we serve the God of order? He is not the God of chaos. What you see on earth is what he will bring about what you see in heaven is what he'll bring about on earth. So 24, in my opinion, represents that order of what's going on. The order of ceremony, the order. We're now into the temple of God, folks. We are raptured out of here, and the first thing we go to, we see is the temple of God. We're seeing the Lord. We're seeing the Lord. We're not seeing a high priest no more, because I'm going to read a little bit further, because I've got to touch on this. I've got to touch on chapter 5 a little bit. But in other words, we now show up, and ready for this? You don't get to visit with mommy at first. You don't get to visit with daddy at first. First thing you're going to see is not mommy and daddy. First thing you see is going to be Jesus. The reason you're there. Now all of a sudden you are at the throne of God. 24 elders are there. And look what they're clothed in, by the way. White raiment with crowns of gold. White raiment is a good eye, good indication of who we're talking about here, okay? And I'm going to get there. But chapter 5 says this. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the beast, of the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, and it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, the 7 spirits of God. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." So now all of a sudden, the Lamb who was slain from the foundations of the world. At first, John sees Jesus, the high priest, when he's immediately in the spirit and he hears, "Come up hither." He's not seeing a high priest no more, Vicky, because there's no need for him to be a high priest. From that point on, he sees a lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. He sees Jesus in a different light. He recognizes who that lamb was. He was there at the cross when that lamb bled and died for all of humanity. John was the one that stood there. John would know who the lamb was. And guess what? He said, "I began to weep because no one was found worthy to open this book, to look upon this, which was the plan of God." Nobody had been able to overcome the adversary. And the elder says, "Weep not, John. Behold, one, he's worthy. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the seals and to look thereon." So here's what it means, Terry. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he bled on Golgotha's hill for you and me, Lisa. He spilled the best that God had. He earned the right to take this seal and to fulfill the plan of God. That's what that is. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, he don't see a high priest. He sees a lamb that had earned the right to take this book and to open it up. Nobody was worthy. Nobody was worthy. In other words, I like to say it this way. Satan had a right to say he wasn't good enough. Abraham wasn't good enough. You're right. David wasn't good enough. You're right. Tripped him up with Bathsheba. Moses wasn't good enough. I know he disobeyed me. Even Job wasn't good enough. No, he wasn't.
Joseph wasn't good enough either. Daniel wasn't good enough. Isaiah and Ezekiel, nope. Malachi, nope. Ain't been nobody worthy. Oh, so what's God do? He sends His Son down to be born of a virgin, to walk a perfect life, to be in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So that when He dies and He raises again, guess what? When Satan says there's no one found worthy, guess what the Lord could say? Have you considered My Son? He died on a cross and He did no sin. He that knew no sin became sin that we could become the righteousness of God. That's who He is. That's what this is all about. It's all about Jesus. So John now all of a sudden goes from the high priest to the Lamb who is getting ready to open some books. And when he opens this book, all these things are about to happen. You're going to see trumpet judgments and bowls of wrath and all this stuff's going to start to take place in the next chapters. But when we first get to heaven, I don't care if you're Pentecostal. I don't care if you're Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist. I don't care if you're the Brother of Christ, the Holiness Pentecostal Tabernacle of the Left Fork of 12 Post Creek. It don't matter. You better like worship. Because when you first get to heaven, that's what you're there to do. Chapter 4 and 5, it talks about there are beasts round about the throne, Vicky, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty that was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy." Guess what? If you don't like to worship now, you better not get on the cloud with me, Terry, because I'm going to shout. The first part of the book of Revelation, it causes us hard to understand. It's the plan of God. What is getting ready to happen on the earth happens in the next few chapters, and we'll go over some of that, okay? But the first part of the book, and it's not a lot of reading. Honestly, it isn't. It's not a lot of reading. There's, 11 verses in chapter 4, there's 11 verses. If you tell me you can't read 11 verses, are you ready for this? The Bible even says you'll be blessed if you read this book. That's what it says. If you want a blessing from God, read the book of Revelation. That's a guaranteed. God said He'll bless you if you do it. I mean, so why steer from it? When the brother was trying to help me, God bless his heart, I know what he's doing now. Man, he was robbing me of a blessing. I'm not here to rob you of a blessing. I say read it. And let's go to somebody that if you don't understand it, come to me. I'll help you. If I don't understand it, we'll find somebody that does. I don't know everything. And just like if I told you earlier, who are the 24 elders? I believe they probably are individuals. But I don't know who they are. I'm not going to tell you one of them is Matthias and one of them is James and one of them is Peter. I ain't going to do that. They might be Joe, but the Bible don't say that. So I'm not going to throw that in there and just say, hey, that's who it is. Well, I'm lying to you. I'm telling you something John didn't tell you. So that's why I'm not going to do that. But I do believe 24 represents an order of things. That's what I believe, okay? That being said, in chapter 5, as he winds down, he says this, verses 12 through 14, this is the last of it, saying with a loud verse, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven on the earth and under the earth, such as in the sea or all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing." Now listen to this. He just named a lot of people. Let me read this slow again. "Every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, in the sea, I heard them saying at once." This would be pretty loud. People see, if people sing in unison, it's going to be louder than one person. Amen? So you got a bunch of people that all of a sudden are saying, literally, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sit upon the throne of to the Lamb forever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. Guess what? It even mentions, there about their number, about thousands and thousands and thousands of numbers, is what it says there in chapter 5. So guess what? That is the Bible's way of telling you it was such a number we couldn't number. So guess what? When we get to heaven, Cheryl, there's going to be so many people from every tribe, kindred, and tongue that's gathered there. If you say you can't worship with nobody Pentecostal, shame on you. If you can't worship with nobody but Baptist, shame on you. Methodist, shame on you. Everybody whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is going to be there. That's what's going to be there. You understand me? If you don't have your name written in the Mallory Church of God rolls, that's one thing, but you better have it written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the main thing. I want you to be members here. I know some of you are talking about it and are thinking about doing it, and we want to encourage that. We really do. But the most important thing is for you to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because when He comes back, Brother Joe, and that come up hither, I want to hear it. I want to go, and I want to show up, Vicki, to the throne room. And I want to look and see God. I want to see God the Father. I want to be able to look over here and see Jesus, the Lamb that was slain, and I want to see Him take that book out of that angel's hand. I want to see that, knowing that, you know what? He's worthy of this. He's worthy of this. Lord, if it wasn't for You, I wouldn't be here. I am so thankful for the grace of God. Every single person that's here tonight ought to be thankful for the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Anybody got any questions? You got a mic here, but go ahead.
Like when we get raptured up, how does that work with Judgment Day? I mean, coming back and being judged after.
That's a great question, man. I tell you what, you got a lot of Bible in you. That's a great question. No judgment's going to take place like that. Now, I will say this. Some type of judgment has to happen for you to be raptured. You're not going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ at that moment. Great white throne judgment ain't there yet. But if you're raptured, you could sort of say some type of judgment actually happened because you were found worthy to be raptured. That's what I'm talking about. So if you're raptured up, guess what? You're safe. You're in heaven. You can't come back out. Okay? That being said, but the white throne judgment is going to happen at the very end, at the end of the millennial reign and all that stuff. That's one of the last things to happen. Judgment seat of Christ will take place in heaven during the seven-year tribulation that's happening on the earth. So it's almost simultaneously. And that's why I think it's hard for some people to understand what's going on in the book of Revelation, because John goes from a heavenly scene to an earthly scene. Back to a heavenly scene, back to an earthly scene. You're going like Barney Fife, you know what I mean? Just back and forth. But that's why sometimes it's hard to understand. It really is. John sees something going on in heaven, talks about the marriage supper. Then he's back here on the Armageddon. You're going, oh gosh, where are we going? You're on Babylon. Now we're going back here. You know, that's why it's hard for people to get it. But the marriage supper of the Lamb, the worship in heaven, giving of crowns, judgment seat of Christ, things like that, the beam of judgment, that's when you'll be given rewards. That, you know, they'll be given. That happens in heaven during the tribulation period, that seven-year period. But on the earth, all hell's breaking loose. So it's a simultaneous thing. You know what I mean? Those that's left behind ain't getting that. That's why I want to be up there. Amen? Anybody else? Great question. Great question. Anybody else? No questions? You're going to have some when I get home, I guarantee it. Message. Yeah, message me. I don't care if you message me. Anybody got any questions? Okay, let me ask you a question. And I just ask this for me because I can get caught up in it easy. Do you understand it somewhat? Do you understand it better than you did when you came in? Okay. Listen, the rapture of the church is going to happen. Boom, we're going to be in heaven. We're going to see the worship in the throne room. We're going to see Jesus presented as the Lamb of God. That's the first days in heaven, Pearl. That's what we're going to be doing. Up until then, mercy and grace is still open. If you've got family members that don't know the Lord, friends and neighbors, tell them about Jesus. Let them know how close the rapture is, okay? Next week, we'll go a little bit into Matthew chapter 24. Read Matthew chapter 24, please. Read Matthew chapter 24, please. Okay? And then we'll go a little bit further into the book of Revelation. Hopefully hit on the witnesses and the mark of the beast, if we can get there, okay?